The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. Simmer, I guess we may call this an emergency podcast. We're kind of short, very short notice recording. We've got
less than 24 hours.
Less than 24 hour warning. We're going to try to talk about cotton, the situation that we got right now across the state. And then also just some thoughts about, you know, how late can we plant? How do we manage late planted cotton? All those kinds of things. So in the room here in the Alpha Building on campus, we got Scott Simmer, Ron Smith, and Steve Brown. And then on Zoom right now, we'll see if anybody else joins. Oh, right on cue, there's Cade. So on Zoom, we've got Cade Grace, Blake Lanton, Aaron Wells, and Eddie McGriff. So we've got a good mix of folks across from north to south, and like I said, if anybody else joins on, we'll get input from them. So, guys, I guess we'll just get into it so we can try to be a little brief with this. We'll start in South Alabama. Aaron, if you want to give us kind of an update on what the cotton situation looks like, at least in your part of the state.
Yeah, I would say here in southeast Alabama, cotton was sort of in a backseat planting peanuts right now. We had the cotton that was planted, I would say probably 65-70% of it that would be planted this year was probably planted back before we really got kicked off the peanut week or so, last part of April, first week or so of May. That's when we actually got our other cotton that's there now planted. And folks kind of drove a stall in the ground and said, hey, it's time to plant peanuts. And we had some delays in peanut planting with some rain. We had about a week-long delay, not quite a week, but that's kind of pushed us back a little bit. But I think maybe this week, everyone will probably be kind of finishing up planting peanuts if they haven't already. And then they will get back onto some cotton planting. But now, what I will say I have seen is somewhere around that second week of May, the pigweed has really started taking off. And I noticed up into that point, fields were fairly clean of pigweed, but now temperatures warmed up and all that. So the pigweed has become a force to be reckoned with in our area right now. It's to the point it's getting so large now that we're getting some really pretty heavy tillage. It's going to take a lot to start a field off clean this year in the cotton crop, especially this late.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. All right, Blake, we'll just work up Central Alabama now.
Yeah, well, since Christy's not here, I'll kind of guesstimate what's going. So I'll kind of talk Dallas County and East first. Most of those guys are probably in okay shape. I mean, they should be getting close to finishing planting. I know there's a good bit of replanting that's going to have to happen. I'm talking to Chris yesterday in his peanut variety trial in Society Hill. He said got flooded out, planted it about a week ago or so, maybe a little more. Yeah, kind of what Aaron said, and I would assume, Aaron, you're probably talking about some more conventional tilled stuff, but even in our no-tilled stuff, pigweeds kind of took off this year. Morning glories, too. Some folks have had to spray morning glories just to stop them from choking out the cotton, and that was mid-May. Now, from Selma West, I haven't really been over there that much, but when we were getting, you know, 2 or 3 inches of rain around Otagoville, they were getting 5 to 8. So those guys are behind. I know there's one 10,000 acre grower. I think he's got about 3,500 to 4,000 acres planted and got another, you know, 6 to 7 to go. Some guys over there, I would imagine, barely got started with soybeans and cotton. Corn crop, you know, looks good, but I know we're talking about the dire situation at hand. It takes forever already to dry out in the Black Belt, so I would assume those guys are in pretty rough shape right now.
Yep. All right, we'll continue the east to west. Eddie, if you want to give us an update from northeast Alabama.
Yes, we've had rain
all of May. It's been a pretty tough spring. I talked to Rich Lindsay, our engineer over in Cherokee County. He said about a quarter of the acres were planted, and I would say that no more than a third of the acres that we normally planted would be planted to cotton. We got a lot of growers that are looking at preventive planting. They're going to take preventive planting, and we got some that are switching to soybeans. So we just had a really rough spring. Of course, all field actions have been delayed. Weed control and side dressing. We had very little cotton planted in that first part of May. So the growers right now that are going to be planting are, this has been really the first week that we've had good weather to plant cotton. So we've got a lot of farmers that are planting. I think we'll probably have maybe a third to 40% of a crop in Northeast Alabama. So it's going to be either preventive planting or soybeans in the other acres.
All right. And Cade, if you'll cover Northwest Alabama.
Thank you, Scott. It's kind of a mixed bag up here. We have some new records. Had the wettest May on record since 1893 in West Alabama, and then I think the fifth wettest in the northwest part of the Tennessee Valley. And you know, there were folks that got 14 inches of rain last month. There was some cotton that went in between the 15th and 25th of April where they were drier and got a good stand. And, you know, that crop looks okay. But for the most part, acres are off pretty big, especially west of here. I drove yesterday from here in Jasper through Hamilton and up to Red Bay, traditionally pretty good little conventional cotton growing areas, little pockets. You just thousands of acres just laid out, nothing planted at all. I mean, nothing. And there's a lot of PP cotton or preventive plant cotton. Some folks are go to beans, but folks that plant cotton. And we're just running out of time up here. You just don't see cotton planted past about the 5th or 6th of June. And we're just rolling the dice. I think there'll be some acres going to soybeans, but, you know, rain a forecast again. You know, there's some growers up here that plant 3,000-4,000 acres of cotton and might have 400 acres planted. I think probably in this part of West Alabama, cotton acres would be about a third what they usually are. In the Tennessee Valley, they're a little bit drier up there on some of that red ground. A lot of the high ground got planted. It's just the bottoms that didn't. So I would say that it'll be probably half to maybe 60% up there. But still off from what it, you know, usually is. There's a lot of corn in the valley this year.
Gotcha. I guess that kind of brings us to, well, we have Dr. Steve Brown and Ron Smith here too. What are our dates based on regions in our state where, you know, because that's one thing I heard in the last week or two in looking at the weather, you know. How far can we stretch it out and before a grower's like, okay, you really need to just stop or like think about something? Or are there some areas where the grower may be thinking, hey, I can only plant, like Cade said, in their region 5th or 6th, right? But do they have an additional week or so that might change someone's perceptions on that?
Steve, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I don't know that I have absolute, and there's no absolute numbers anywhere. I do know that farmers got to look at his crop insurance dates and make some decisions there. One comment we had before we began to talk was, what are the long-term weather trends for the year? Are we going to be warmer or cooler than normal? Or are we going to be wetter or drier than normal? And so I think those can kind of give us some encouragement or a stop sign that, hey, we, you know, the risks are getting too great. So that's not specific dates that you're looking for. But I would also say, and Ron and I were talking a few moments ago, that if we can achieve 4 weeks of bloom, we've got a good opportunity to make a reasonable crop. And so if the calendar dates work out and the weather trends support that, that may tempt us to go a little later than our comfort zone, or it may tell us to stop. So I'd put those in the mix in making my decisions, because even if we had a good calendar date, that's general. That's mm-hmm. what we've seen in history. But what's this year going to look like, we don't know. But so, again, those would be some of the factors I would consider. Ron?
Well, I would just say I believe all the regions are different.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you consider North Alabama, I believe the valley would be different maybe than Cherokee County area. And I think on top of that, then the individual farm situations are different too. Some have better options than others. The infrastructure in some areas are better to switch to other crops. And maybe that option, the infrastructure in other areas, is not there for that switch. So it's a real complicated thing. And in the end, each individual grower probably is going to have to make that decision based on his economics and options that he considers he has on his farm. I do believe that we need to think in terms, though, that we've got shorter maturing varieties, earlier maturing varieties now that really set a crop in a hurry, and we also, in recent years, the heat units have been elevated. So everything happens faster, and I think we forget how fast cotton will mature when we plant a little bit later, because it comes up growing, assuming weather and everything is okay. So I'm going to say that we could possibly, I've given some thought to this and looked at how many fruiting nodes a cotton plant could put on and what kind of yield potential we could have. But I believe that if we really want to plant cotton, we can plant some of our varieties today as late as June the 10th and still get 4 good weeks of bloom, Steve, and I'll go back to that. Let's just say we're going to start putting on pinhead squares at the fifth node. If I can get to 14 nodes, that gives me 9 nodes. They're coming on about every 3 days apart. That's about 27, 28 days then that I'm going to grow cotton, and then it's a matter of just maturing it. None of us know what the weather is going to be like in September, but that pushes everything back. The moisture conditions and everything have to be pretty much right for germination. When we've planted, it's got to come up growing. And then we've got to have the heat units and the rainfall. Now we're thinking with too much rainfall, but we would have to have rainfall under that late planting instead of mid-July to mid-August. We've got to have rainfall from 1st of August to mid-September when we're filling bowls. So there's a lot of factors, but I have seen cotton with 14 nodes. That's 9 fruiting nodes, and if everything sets, and if we manage insects and the weather, we have adequate moisture, we can make 800 to 1,000 pounds with today's varieties on 9 fruiting nodes. And I've got pictures of some fields in 2024. Now, they were not late planted, but they only had about 14 nodes, and they picked close to 1,000 pounds near the airport in Center Alabama.
One thing you just mentioned there that will be very important is insect management. You know, we can't afford to have any delays in maturity. You know, when you're planting in April, if you lose a couple squares of plant bugs pre-bloom, you got plenty of time to overcome it. In late planted cotton, you don't. So that's one thing. And Steve, I think, you know, maintaining early square retention promotes earliness, which is another big factor. But all season long, even once we get out of bloom, we can't let insects slow us down or delay our maturity at all, because that's, you know, 3 or 4 days could be the difference in that frost hitting or not. I remember when I first started, I was calling around some extension people and some people not with extension, farmers or, you know, retailers, whatever. Just what's your last effective bloom date? Because that's important for insect management, of course. And I'll never forget, one of the comments was, "I can tell you exactly when it is." I said, "Okay." He said, "Tell me when the first frost is going to be." And it is kind of a guessing game. Of course, we can use history to have an idea of what that is, but we really need to make sure, like Ron and Steve, y'all both said, we have at least 4 good weeks of bloom.
Let me come back and say one more thing here, and Steve, you may let me squeeze this in. PGR management is going to be really, really important, and we've got to realize how sensitive our current varieties, the newer varieties, are to correct PGR management. Low dosage, multiple applications will speed this up 10 days at least, or shorten the maturity season, and add to a number of fruit also.
I'll throw a little kink into this discussion. I think sometimes when we get under real warm conditions, our node of first fruit may move up the plant a little bit, which will push us back to node 6 or 7. But still, I think the interval between nodes and fruit may be even two and a half days rather than 3. So we can do it. But I think aggressive insect control, probably aggressive PGR control, as you've suggested, if we're not on the too dry
sure.
side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then one of the things I would say is we don't want to be aggressive on nitrogen. In fact, most recommendations would be we should pull back on nitrogen, maybe 20%. We certainly don't want to be dark green into October. And you know, if we were normally using 100 pounds, maybe we were looking at 80 or 75 pounds. So, you know, it's not a beauty contest of, hey, we want cotton to look dark green. We want to make fruit. And if we are too aggressive there, it can hurt us. So,
on the same note, I was going to ask you, because I've heard kind of mixed recommendations on when we get in a situation of late planting, what is our seeding rate kind of need to be adjusted? But I've heard like some, hey, you need to up it a little bit to make sure that you have enough stand there, and then like the others are like, well, we got to pull back, you know. So
I really think you avoid the extremes. If we have good moisture, which we gotta
maybe too good moisture,
we have too much moisture,
so we know the cotton's gonna come out of the ground, so we're not planting under cool, stressful conditions where we got to up the seeding rates. However, when you have when your stand is too thin, you get more branching and you take more time to make the fruit. And that probably is more critical as we move to the northern part of the state. They don't want to be too thin. On the other hand, if you get too thick, you're going to move fruiting nodes up. And so, two plants per foot is a good target. I've seen some of the data that suggests, hey, you probably need to bump your seeding rates a little bit. So I think we avoid the extremes. That's
so have a seeding rate adjusted accordingly, so you have a 2 emerged plants per foot.
Yeah, close to that, yes.
Okay.
Isn't that kind of what we're already talking about? So really, we're not talking about changing our seeding rate very much from our normal planting dates.
I tend to agree with that. I think, again, the northern part of the state's going to be planting closer to 3 seed per foot. As we move south, they're going to be 2, and sometimes they're cheating 2.
1.5
or
something.
That's right. So I think just avoid the extremes there.
Well, we're talking a lot in the Alpha building. Anybody out in the state, the guys on Zoom, have anything to add?
Well, Simmer got my question. I was about to ask what we do about seeding rates. But I guess, you know, really thinking about the preventive planting, if you've already got fertilizer out there, how will that influence your decision? That's what in Tuscaloosa last week with some farmers, and that's pretty much what they said, that they were looking at preventive planting, but their insurance guy said since they'd already had a good bit of their fertilizer out up front, that they weren't going to come out good taking the insurance.
Yeah, that's something I talked with somebody earlier this week about, you know, what to do. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's a business, and you got to run some economics and just see what, whether you're talking about preventive planting or you know, swapping crops or just shooting for an 850-pound yield. You just got to look at what's going to make the most or lose the least amount of money and just kind of make a decision. But it's a very difficult one to make.
So I guess what we're saying is farming is a high risk and a high challenge business, and we're seeing the extremes of it this year.
Yeah.
One obvious thing we haven't mentioned, but though maybe we did allude to it, we've got some varieties that are on the more fuller spectrum of maturity. We've got others that can fruit faster and quicker. So we would tend to vote towards the early maturing varieties in general. So I think that's pretty obvious. Though I have seen some situations where whatever yields best whenever it's planted.
But. Yeah.
But if you look at the spectrum of varieties that are available today, the newer ones, all of them are earlier maturing than what we have experienced over most of our careers, going 1646 and before then 555 or 90. All those were great varieties, but much longer season, more full season than about any choices today.
Maybe not all of our careers.
Well, one other thing is, we, as much as possible, we want to avoid setting the crop back from stresses such as herbicide injury. Now, my opinion is, if you got weeds, you got to kill them. You got to do whatever it takes. But you want to minimize that as a stress as well. So, and other stresses. You don't want. I just saw a crop outside the building here, and it got burned with something. Somebody put some fertilizer on and burned it and set it back. Again, those sorts of things we want to minimize. So.
Yeah, I guess the wet weather is also going to prevent a lot of other applications, not just even like getting nitrogen out and other. I know we're talking reducing the rates and stuff, but it's, you still got to apply something, right?
Yeah.
Something we haven't mentioned yet either, Kay kind of alluded to a little bit, some of that early, you know, April planted cotton in North Alabama. I've got some at Belmont at the station. It's not even squaring yet. Even the early planted cotton is not, because it's just been so waterlogged, it's not growing like you expect it to. So while that, we still probably need to manage some of that for earliness, which obviously they do in North Alabama anyway, but just something to think about.
Do you feel like, and I feel a little out of touch here, but do you feel like it's been a little cooler than normal than we might see? Are we having less heat units, or is it waterlogged? I know waterlogged certainly is going
to. Cade lives up there. He can speak to it, but I'm up there once a week or every 2 weeks.
And also remember, there's been a tremendous amount of cloudy weather.
Overcast conditions.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a three-pronged approach here. I feel like we've been a little cooler for the most part. Lots of cloudy days, and we're just now having, I guess, average temperatures. But it's with it raining 22 days last month. I mean, that really hurts your heat units there, and the plant's ability to do photosynthesis is not as robust when it's that cloudy. And the same for April. In parts of April, but you're talking about being waterlogged. I saw a field yesterday that it had so much rain on it, it looked like it had been burned down because of the amount of water and the lack of oxygen. Yeah. That's just how much rain we've had in spots. It is pretty crazy. Fields I've never seen not planted my whole life are laid out. And
something else with that too, is it, at least they always said back home, you want a little drought stress in early season cotton to make that taproot grow down a little bit further so you're closer to moisture later in the season. And that's probably not going to happen this year. So that might set us up for a little bit more issues with drought stress late in the year if we have that.
That's a good point, Scott. And, Cade, if I'm not mistaken, there is another weather front that's on the way today to – pretty much cover this coming weekend. Am I correct?
Looks like Saturday and Sunday are pretty wet. the models have, you know, anywhere from an inch to, I guess, about 3.5 inches the next 7 days. We don't need it. So hopefully it's just like Blake and I talked about earlier this morning. It's just more of a, like a scattered pattern that we're moving to, a normal June scattered afternoon showers. But I guess that's to be determined what actually happens. And you know how that can be sometimes. Sometimes a pop-up can come, and it'll sit there and drop 2 or 3 inches on you. You get 2 or 3 inches dropped on you 3 times in a week, you're back to where you were, even though you gained 4 or 5 days that you might have could have done field work this week. So
one thing I was thinking about last night, you know, in most areas there are larger tracts of land, and then you've got smaller tracts of land that are fields that normally go into cotton. Assuming you can get into the fields, your planting efficiency would be higher as far as covering acres to try to plant the big tracts first and not waste time up and down the road going to the 5 to 15 acre fields, which you find in some areas. So, you know, I know you've got to consider moisture, but that might be another thought, and I'm sure they're thinking the same way. The more acres you can plant, the quicker up and for a few more days, if it want to plant cotton, would be the way to do it, to plant as many acres possible as fast as it can.
Blake and I were talking about this yesterday because we got some growers across the state with high-speed planters and large planters, mm-hmm. you know, like even 24-row. I'm like, they actually have a little bit of advantage in a way when they can get going, they can cover some land, you know. And interestingly, Eddie and I have a trial with the McMeekins, and I was talking to Matt almost a week or so ago, and he's like, we're just waiting for those few 2 or 3 days. And he even had done the math on that when they start going and they have 2 high-speed planters, and if he can even run at 8 or 9 miles per hour and plant, he said, I need 50 hours of state running to cover everything I can, you know. So it's definitely, in a way, you know, large equipment or technology in some situations like this here could definitely help you at least get your crop planted.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
No, I won't say any more after this, but bottom line, we got a few more days to plant cotton if the grower really wants to plant cotton.
I'll talk about the end game, which is we're way ahead of ourselves, but I was thinking about this. If we get out, if we've got a late crop, how long do we let that crop grow before we terminate it? Let's say we got a crop, we got green bowls out there, and, you know, they're pretty mature, but we want more time, but we got this cold front coming. One thing I would say is if you watch the weather and you know a killing frost is coming, now a light frost is going to probably help you turn the plant and take green out of it, but a killing frost, which I think we're going to have to see below 30 for several hours, you want to be 4 or 5 days ahead of that with your defoliation program to try to get those bowls open. I've seen people say, "Well, oh God, it's going to frost tomorrow. Should I spray today?" Well, no, you need several days in between. Again, 4 or 5 days at least, if you're watching the weather. Now, again, a light frost, I may ride it, but if I knew, hey, I'm going to see 25 degrees and I got a green crop out there, I'm going to probably hit it with my aggressive Ethafon approach, trying to force as much open as possible.
That's a good point.
That's way out there.
Yeah. Other thing I was thinking, and I know one of our recommendations right now, what we're talking about on this late planting is our better varieties, or we have short season, fast maturing varieties, all that. I mean, a lot of growers already ordered their seed back early in the year and all that, and they may have a stock of all this seed that they planned on getting planted in May or something, right? And now we're sitting on a seed that may not be that maturity or another. I'm not a seed guy, but I'm just thinking about it. So how do they, is the seed even available for them to go swap out or change?
I suspect acres are down enough that if it hasn't been downstream treated,
mm-hmm.
they can take them back. Mm-hmm. They'll take them back. Now, if that bag has been opened and retreated at the local vendor, they they're not going to take that back.
And so. Summer, I had some feedback that 10 days or more ago that they had already exchanged some seed for earlier maturity.
So they still have an opportunity to exchange seed at this point.
And I think
that's going to be based on location, because that's exactly what I told some farmers the other day. I was like, you know, maybe try and get you a shorter season variety once you get back in. And he said, well, we're probably only going to be able to get what they've got at wherever they were buying seed from. He said, so we're most likely stuck with what we got, or we're at their mercy.
Okay. Any last, I know you want to kind of emphasize?
Well, just what I said earlier, if a grower really, really wants to plant cotton, we've got another 10 days plus. I would go up to around the 20th.
Okay. I feel a lot more comfortable as you go to the southern extremes. Mm-hmm. But as you get north, you get more nervous when we get past the next.
There's no question
days.
It gets risky. Yeah. That's when you don't – if you've got other alternatives you like, then move to them. But if you don't, that's my cutoff date just about.
I also think the southern area where we have cotton and peanut production together – they're not going to soybeans, I don't think. Now, of course, I'm not a soybean fan. I'm a negative on soybeans. But in that rotation, I don't see them going to soybeans. But I don't. What do y'all think?
Well, that's another situation where who's got soybeans sitting in the store? They don't grow soybeans down there, right. So it might be hard to get them.
It comes harvest time, where are they going to put the soybeans if they're not set up with the infrastructure to be, really be in the soybean business?
Yeah. I guess we, Eddie, Aaron, Blake, and Kate, I guess maybe some final remarks from y'all, maybe more specific to your region. Any recommendation, anything for your growers before we wrap up?
I would say one thing is where growers have planted cotton and use Cotteran, and they want to come back and plant soybeans, that's not going to be an option because of the plant back restriction. So we do have some cotton that needs to be replanted, and they're either going to have to go back into cotton or take preventive planting. If they've already applied the Cotteran pre-emerge, it's not going to be an option to go back into soybean because we just don't have enough time, and we don't want to ding those beans up and have a poor yield on soybeans. That's not going to work at all.
I would say in our area, there has been a little talk of some people planting some soybeans, but like y'all mentioned earlier, the rotation of peanuts is an issue, and proximity to markets for us is not great for soybeans. From a cotton standpoint, in Southeast Alabama, the final planting date, crop insurance is actually tomorrow, or on June the 5th in Southeast Alabama. There is a late planting period up until June the 15th. So biggest thing is I would really encourage growers to talk to their crop insurance agents from the business standpoint of things, to find out, they don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize any kind of potential preventive planning or anything like that. So on top of all these other things that we've mentioned, like Eddie mentioned about the kind of residual herbicides that may be out there, you really need to get on the phone with your insurance agent and for sure explore that piece of the puzzle as well.
Blake?
Yeah, I'll just kind of reiterate what Dr. Brown said earlier. If you're going to do it, do whatever you can to mitigate any of those stresses. Some of this slow growing stuff around here, again, we had like 50 degree mornings after we planted and stuff was slow growing. And some farmers and I talked about, not putting any residuals over the top to do any more dinging up than what's already happened to get the stuff growing and on its way to making a crop. So that'd be the big thing there. We've got to make it happen as fast as we can and not do anything on our part to slow it down.
Kaden.
I agree, and just the PGR management this year is going to be extremely important. Extremely important. So guys that would let cotton get a little rank, I hope that they're maybe because they've got less acres this year, maybe they can pay attention a little better to managing the PGRs on that cotton. And I've talked to a few growers that have taken prevented plant, and they're going to, you know, work on some other things during this time besides managing the crop that they've got, you know, looking at their soil fertility and going ahead and taking some samples and doing some field work. And, you know, just it's kind of crazy to think that you're going to have some free time on your hands because you've filed prevented plant, but also that's the folks who've been, you know, talking with their crop insurance agents, making sure that if they've got a written agreement or county by county, you know, dates can change. So, and I would encourage everybody to know your dates and to make sure that, you know, that you're doing what you need to stay eligible for that.
Simba, let me come back and say one more thing, and that relates to where we do have cotton planted. Everybody said we're going to have fewer acres. Well, pests such as tarnished plant bugs, once they come off the wild host plants, they're going to be concentrating on those fewer acres. So we've set up to have a high influx, and Scott, you can talk about this, but a high movement of plant bugs into cotton. The other thing I want to say is in the years that we've had a lot of crazy cotton caused by plant bug feeding, it's when we've had wet springs and delayed planting, and the plant bugs move into cotton when it's still pre-square, not even the fifth node, and they'll feed in the terminal, which gives us crazy cotton. So those are things that we would need to be conscious of on the acres where we are, where we do have planted.
Good point.
Yep, absolutely. All right, guys. Well, appreciate y'all short notice coming on to talk with, record with us this episode. I wish we had something a little bit better to talk about, but we're gonna we here at Alabama Extension are here to support any way we can for everybody out there. If any of us can ever do anything to help, please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know. And we'll continue talking about this and other things as the season progresses.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.